this morning, yet knowing that we have needs, but we have a hope. We can look up, we can see that you care, that you love, and that you really do desire to walk with us as our shepherd. So thank you, Lord Jesus, this morning for just that great love that you have for us. Just ask, God, that you would be with us in our time here, in our gathering here this morning. Would you thank you for the opportunity? Thank you for safety for all of us that have traveled and have made our way here this morning. So just ask for your Holy Spirit, your presence here this morning in our sharing time, preaching, everything that we have planned this morning, Lord. May your Holy Spirit do the work in our hearts, Lord, that you want to today. Just meet every need here in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, it's good to be here this morning. We're going to have Seth, Jonathan, and Abram share about their time with LTO. I think Seth has some other things that he's looking into. He's going to share as well. And then we'll have John Omar bring the word, bring the message. And then Seth, if you could have closing comments and prayer. I think you have some announcements at the end. So thank you all for coming. It's good to be here. Good to have Mel and Ruth Ann with us. God bless you in your journey and this season of life. But it is good to have you here with us this morning. And we're continuing to pray for you. So Seth, are you ready? And then Abram, if you could, can you pray for John Omar then when you're finished, and whatever time you need this morning. So, yeah.
Good morning. Greetings to all in the name of Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, and the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believe, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Whereof I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you always in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, fullness of him that filleth all in all. That just so blessed me this morning. This is Ephesians 1. So much of what we are called to do is right here. And the part that I want to point out is verse 6. To the praise of his glory, of his grace. That's what we're all about. It was from the beginning of the world. And so all of what God's blessed us with comes out of that. And going overseas or doing missions or doing mission training is kind of a more of the flashy aspects of that, you want to say. Like, you can see that. So yeah, I really enjoyed my time there in New York City. We had just a great time, and that this is one of my highlights. Just looking into what is God's purpose for us, and how can we walk that out? And there's, you know, 20 different students, and you each walk it out in different ways, in different areas of the world, in different callings. But it's for the praise of His glory. And that's my utmost endeavor, is not to get that switched around and that I'm doing something for God. It's that He's called me to this, and it's because of Him and through His grace that I do it. So yeah, some of my highlights. I focused on the Arabs that are living in New York City, and so I went to the mosque regularly and struck up a lot of conversations. That was very fun. Yeah. We got into, would you say, God is working in their hearts, and even Muslims, for that matter. I'll just help you out with this. For those of you that don't know much about the Quran, there's so much that actually provides loopholes and the basis for Christianity is, how would I say, the Quran doesn't provide a substantial threat, if you want to put it that way. Basically, Muhammad is mentioned in the Quran 3 times, and I think Jesus is mentioned 20 times, something like 15 times, somewhere there. And Moses, a lot of times, I don't know, 30, 50, something like that. And so we have so many of these stories about these prophets, and they want to know about them. And that's just amazing to me that, you know, God kind of, He provided a way for His glory to be known there, even though I didn't write the Quran. I didn't write it in a way that, you know, I can refute it later, you know. But it's there. And yeah, also the Quran does not has one complete story where it starts at the beginning of someone's life and goes to the end. It's the story of Joseph. All the other stories, they're not stories. They're just snippets, and you have to assume that you got more information somewhere else about the person. And so the Bible is spot on in those ways. So God has not given us a spirit of confusion. So I, personally, God's been working my heart in that way. And like, share about Jesus and sharing about these other stories that they want to know about, rather than just getting into a debate, because that's easy. Yeah, that's, LTO was fun. Another highlight is just, you know, learning how people have different callings and they walk it out in lots of different ways, but we're still on the same goal, same track, to preserve the glory of God and spread it throughout all the world, that everyone would praise Him. So that's all I have. So. Oh, yeah, and possibly looking into the future, yes, it seems kind of uncertain for myself, but I did go to LTO looking for direction moving forward, and yeah, I think it's becoming clear. Potentially the thing that looks clearest is going to Germany again next year sometime, and just we'll go from there. But for right now, in the next few months anyway, it's, right in this area, and God's been showing me a lot, so appreciate your prayers, and thank you.
Yeah, good morning. As Seth was saying, it was a really good opportunity that we had to be in New York for LTO in September and October. Sorry we don't have pictures to show, but if you need to see some, come see us later. It was just a really good time, as Seth mentioned, just connecting with other young people that were there for the same goal and purpose, to make Christ's name known, to glorify God, and just to be together with so many other young people that were on fire for Christ was a great blessing. Probably one of the hardest or most stretching parts for me was definitely the outreach times. I know a lot of you probably know kind of about LTO because of all the others that I've gone, but we do go out in the streets and the parks like 4 days a week and basically just try to strike up conversations with people and maybe give them a track, maybe talk to them about Christ. The goal is to talk about Christ, and that was probably the most stretching for me for sure, but I can definitely see how God was working through that, and even just working in my own life, my own heart through that, and it really made me think even more about like where I stand on like what I'm actually standing on, what I actually believe in, and do I believe in it enough to be able to share it with those around me. One verse that I really, I guess, thought about a lot or prayed a lot was 2 Timothy 1:7, where it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind." So that was a blessing. One of my highlights was definitely, like I mentioned, just hanging out with that awesome group of people. We spent a lot of time just sitting around, talking, discussing scriptures, discussing the different things we were learning, different things we were reading. We had quite a few assignments, reading a number of books and things like that. So that was just great just to get to like discuss that with the other young people and, really just grow. Like I mentioned, I feel like God was definitely working in my own life through that. I don't feel like there's necessarily just like one specific lesson that I learned through it all. It's just there's definitely a lot of practical things that were taught to apply to like everyday life, whether across the seas or here and there, like in the home area. And basically, it was really hammered down that we're called to make Christ known wherever we are. We don't have to be in some foreign land to some strange people to be able to make Christ known. That was definitely good. I don't feel like I have a whole lot more to share. Definitely recommend if you get the opportunity, go study, be stretched, be challenged. But it's definitely good for all for the glory of Christ. This is what it's all about. I definitely don't feel like I have clear answers or direction for the next steps ahead. But I definitely want to just keep pursuing Christ, and even to use the platforms that I have now here for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. And then, yeah, just want to be continue to be open to go wherever He leads. So that would definitely be my prayer, that I can just continue to follow Christ and go wherever He leads and wherever I am to make Him known. That's, I guess, my challenge and my challenge to you all to, like Seth read, like he was talking about, that is our calling, to know Christ and make Him known. So God bless you.
Good morning. So maybe just a little bit to share what I did in New York and kind of my role. As Jonathan and Seth were there as students, and then I had actually been asked if I would want to go up and serve as kind of part of staff. They were a little bit short of staff this year, in particular just because they normally have interns go through the year. So two guys and two girls that kind of help with just things that need to be done at MTC and things like that. So I was kind of there as almost like an intern role, whatever, at least during LTO. So I helped a lot with like class flow and just contacting speakers that are coming in if they didn't reach out to us with their class handouts, and printing that and making sure they get to the right people. It's kind of, my role was more like janitor, house parent role, like taking care of trash, locking up, making sure the lights are turned off and things like that. So, and I take the cook shopping some and just help them and help Jesse wherever needed. So just kind of, I was more just doing whatever. I did sit in on some classes. I was able to sit in on the apologetics classes. That was for a day. And also there was a Buddhist tract, so that would have ran for a few days, which I got to sit in on most of those. Just, I think a few of my highlights. Well, another thing, while I was there, I was going to Life in Christ Church, which the students didn't really get that opportunity, but I was really grateful for that. It was just a great, I knew most of the people, so it was just really nice to be able to almost feel like I'm plugging into another church while I'm there. So I really enjoyed that, their church and the heart that they have there. I think one of the things that stood out to me with working with the MTC team, and something that I want to be more involved in and impact others more, is they were very intentional about speaking words of life. Throughout LTO, for the students, they encouraged every student to write encouragement notes to the other person, and like various different things throughout LTO that they did to encourage those life-giving notes or life-giving words. And then I also saw that in their team. They actually had a chat just amongst the team where if you would recognize or notice something in the other person or something they did or just a word of appreciation, they would put it on there just to encourage that other person or whatever. And that really blessed me. That really spoke to me how they built their team on speaking words of life to each other to build each other up and encourage one another. Another thing that I really enjoyed was getting to sit in on the Buddhism classes for a few days. And it's kind of somewhat a new religion, at least the understanding of it. And so the first day and a half or first few classes, Henry Blank taught on just kind of the introduction to Buddhism and what they believe and like how they think and how their religion works. And just hearing him talk and going through the class, it seemed hopeless. How could we ever reach them? How could we ever share the gospel with them? Because the very essence of their religion is not to reason, not to think. They believe the point of their existence is to get to a place where there's nothingness, where they don't think at all. They don't have to reason. They don't have to do anything. There's basically, yeah, there's so many layers of it, but to get to a place where they're just in bliss, where they do not think at all. And actually, I just kind of, maybe a word of warning for us is, like, that's not how God created us. Let's not encourage, a lot of even Western religion is coming to that point of getting to a place where you don't have to really use your mind or really reason or really think about what God asks you to. And that verse in Philippians 4:8 says, whatever things are pure, lovely, gentle, meek, of good report, think on these things. And throughout the Bible, God asks us to think, and God asks us to use our minds for his glory. And so I guess in hearing about Buddhists and that religion, it was just kind of depressing in a sense, because even to ask questions to a Buddhist always comes back to, well, that's not important. That's, or you, maybe even just the thing of, you can think that way and I can think this way. There's no, I guess, very key to getting and reaching someone like that is, if you can get them to reason, get them to start thinking, you've made a big headway. But then the second speaker for that track was a man by, his name was Eldon Yoder, and he was in Cambodia, where there's a lot of Buddhists there, and he gave so many stories. He was working amongst those people, and it was after a few classes of just more into what is a religion and just being depressed about it or just feeling like it's hopeless, then hearing someone that was there and just seeing that it's the power of the Spirit that changes lives. And it's just so incredible that the Holy Spirit working in people's lives still draws people to himself. In spite of religion, in spite of all these walls and barriers that try to protect, that Satan puts up to try to protect man from reaching Christ, the Holy Spirit still breaks through that. And so that was just so encouraging for me. And I know sitting in those classes, it just felt like, wow, we got this. God is supreme. He is ruler of all, and he's all powerful. And so I was just really blessed with that, and I think it's kind of one of the highlights of my time at LTO, was just seeing and realizing that whatever Satan sets up for evil to trap men, God still has the power to break through. Let's pray. Father, thank you for John Ulmer and his willingness to share with us this morning. God, I pray that you would minister to him even as he speaks. I pray that you would give him a clear mind as he looks at his notes, as he looks at your word. I pray that there wouldn't be confusion, or there wouldn't be anything trying to come into his mind to distract him from just sharing what you laid on his heart. But I pray that he could speak boldly, with humility, honoring you always. And I pray that us as the listeners, I pray that you would help us to understand and apply it to our lives. God, change us through your Spirit and help us to walk as children of light. God, I also just pray for Jonathan and Seth. I pray that you would continue that work of that you started in LTO and or continued there. May you continue. I pray that you would give them direction for the path forward and what you have for them in the next week and next month and year. Father, I pray that we all as a church could live to make you known and seated on the highest place of our hearts, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Thank you all for sharing this morning, Seth, Jonathan, Abram. Appreciate that. What a blessing it is to come together this morning, to be together as brothers and sisters. Just really appreciate the time that we have to be together. As we look into the Word this morning, I want to just look at the Christmas story, and which is about Jesus Christ. He is the Christmas story. He is the one. So what is Christmas? To some, it may be Santa Claus, but it's not what we talk about, but Stephen warned us about this counterfeit. It's about lights, candy, gifts. While some of these aren't wrong in themselves, may we not forget that Christmas is about Jesus Christ. It is about, it's not about ourselves. It's not about what we can get out of it. It's not what we can receive during this time. But it is about Jesus' birth, the Messiah, the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He is the one that the Christmas story is about. It's a very familiar story, yet amazing. Maybe never lose touch of that, the amazing story of Christmas. When we read those different accounts, and you see what transpired, what took place during that time of the amazing story of a virgin birth. But God, with men, those things are not possible. But God, with God, these things are possible. So let's look at Matthew 1, verse 18 through 24. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was in this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to put her to public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on those things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. When Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Again, what a miracle. As I was studying for this, I was just amazed at what took place here. A very familiar story that, you know what, it to me has almost been too familiar. that you don't really look at the details and recognize who God is in this and what God has done. So as a backdrop on this, I want to look at some of the Old Testament prophecies. Jesus' birth was prophesied for hundreds of years. And I know it's Isaiah speaks a lot of that. So let's look at Isaiah 7. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before this child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. So again, it's Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 9, verse 2, and also 6 through 7, and the people that walk in darkness have seen a great light, and that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shined. For unto us, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace shall be, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment, with justice, from henceforth forever. The seal of the Lord will perform this. Again, it's Jesus Christ. He is the one that was prophesied, I don't know how many years ago, but at least probably six. I know it's at least 400, but probably quite a bit more than that, prophesied of that a child was coming and a son was given, which reminds me of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Again, a child was given, a son was given. Then Isaiah 11, 1 to 4 brings out Yeah, 11 verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow in his roots. So it brings out the family lineage that he's going to be born from. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he shall make quick understanding of the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with the equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. So here again, just looking at it from like the Old Testament standpoint, you will look at, if you would not be on this side of Jesus Christ being here, you would look at this, wow. What a man this would be, that he would not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor reprove by the hearing of his ears. I know, being that we are on this side of Jesus Christ, we know that that's who Jesus Christ was. But just picture with me what it would have looked like being before Jesus Christ, and the tendency of mankind is to judge after the sight of what we see and what we hear. And but it says that he were with righteousness so he judged the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. Again, it's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. Then Jeremiah 23:5-6, "Behold, the day come, says the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safety, and this is his name wherein he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness." Talks about the, "You will raise unto David a righteous branch." Again, the family lineage of David. "And he shall execute judgment and justice on the earth." Then Micah 5 tells us where he's going to be born. But Micah 5, 2 to 4, 5. "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrata, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler of Israel, whose going forth has been from him of old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up, until the time that he has travailed shall he bring forth. Therefore will he give them up, until the time that she has she which travaileth brought forth, and the remnants of his brethren shall be turned unto the children of Israel. And that he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide, and now how shall be great in the ends of the earth. And this man shall be the peace." And this man shall be the peace. Even just looking at the Christmas story, how this was prophesied, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. And then, just before the time that he was to be born, Caesar Augustus commanded the tax that people be go to the home country because of taxing. So all of a sudden, from where he was, where Joseph and Mary were, they had to go to Bethlehem because of the taxation, and just to, and how that just brought forth. It was exactly how it was prophesied. We'll look at a couple more verses in the Old Testament. Let's go to Malachi, which is the last book. Chapter 4, this is chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall certainly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant which ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, says the Lord of hosts. But who may abide in the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner fire and like a fuller scope. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord as in the days of old and his former days. And I will come near to you in judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against the false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widows and the fatherless, and them that turn aside the stranger from his right and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Yeah, I was going to stop at verse 5. Anyhow, again, he brings forth that he will send forth a messenger before to prepare the way before Jesus Christ. Look at Malachi 4 yet, then we'll switch over to the New Testament. And behold, the day come that shall burn like an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as staffs, calves in the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be as ashes under the soles of the feet of the in the day that I shall do this, says the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the love of Moses, my servant, which I command you and commanded unto him and Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgment. Behold, I will send to you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest they come and smite the earth with a curse. And I realize this is just a fear of the Old Testament prophecies that prophesy of Jesus Christ, of his birth, of his death, and the resurrection. There are many, many more throughout the Old Testament that speak of Jesus Christ, that prophesy of him, that foretell of his suffering, that foretell of his birth, of his death and resurrection. And then the Old Testament ends in Malachi, and then all of a sudden there's 400 years of silence. Nothing. 400 years, there's no prophet, no voice, just silence. And I was thinking of that, I imagine, as the years and years went by, the Jews would read the Hebrew scriptures, which is the Old Testament, and would say, is this the time? Is this the child? But no, more and more years would go by. Generation after generation came and went, and still nothing. No voice, no prophet, nothing. And then one day, the angel shows up with Mary and tells her that she is going to be the one that the Messiah is going to be born. And then it's action-packed from there forth. The angel shows up Zacharias and tells that his wife is going to bear a child in her old age. Again, the God of the impossible. And which is the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And which is amazing that he was fulfilling, which also, again, a very familiar story, but he was fulfilling his duties in the temple, and he stayed in the temple for a very long time, and the people marveled, wondered, what is going on? What is happening? And then he came out and couldn't speak, but rather just made signs to the people. Like, I mean, you will wonder, okay, what's that about? And then 6 months later, the angel comes to Mary. And again, just a backdrop of 400 years of nothing, no voice, God not speaking. And then it's just, again, back to back, the angel shows up and brings good tidings and brings, and is saying that the prophecies of old are being fulfilled today. And then Joseph finds out that her fiance is pregnant and is mindful to put her away, not publicly, but privately. And then the angel shows up to him in a dream and tells her, don't worry about it. I mean, the child that is born of her, that she is carrying is the Messiah. it's not because of fornication or anything of that nature. And so he marries her, and then after Jesus is born, then the angels show up to the shepherds and reveals the good tidings and say that today is born in Bethlehem the Savior, Jesus Christ. And then the wise men see the stars. And see that there's something different in the sky. See that there's a star there that wasn't there before. And they take that as a sign that that something great has happened. The king has been born. So they travel from the east all the way to Bethlehem to see this child. And again, the angel visits Joseph in a dream to flee to Egypt. But as I was just looking at that, it's just, again, just action-packed time and time again. And from there forth, you see the life of Jesus, the 3 years of ministry of healing the sick, teaching the blind saw, the dumb heard, the devils were cast out, and just on and on and on. And then he dies on the cross. He's killed, but death could not hold him. He rose from the grave. He went to heaven, and he's coming back again. But with that, he has given the promise, the Holy Spirit, to his people, so that they can go forth and bring the good tidings, bring the good news to whosoever that they meet. And again, the amazing account. Is it amazing to us? Or is it just an old, old story that we have come so familiar with that we don't look at what really happened? We don't think about what God has really done. I'm going to look at Luke chapter 1. Start at verse 5. And today, which talks about Zacharias and Elizabeth. In the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah. And his wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well straightened in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, standing in the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and the wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and shall call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before them in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedience to the wisdom of the just, and make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Again, the prophecy being fulfilled from Malachi. And Zacharias said unto the angels, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man. and my wife well straightened in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, which stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and show thee glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak until the day that the things be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be performed in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias, and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass, as soon as the days of his ministration was accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days when he looked on me, to take away my reproach among men. And in the 6 months the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused with a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel said unto her, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when he saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she is also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the 6 months with her who is called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Again, with God, nothing is impossible. I'm going to look at Luke chapter 2. Verse 1, And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph went up also from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, into Judea, which is the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto him, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And certainly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Just kind of imagine that sight of being out in the fields in the middle of the night, watching over the sheep, and all of a sudden the angel shows up, and also thought about that. I can only imagine the anticipation even of the angels of sharing that the good news that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Jesus was born as a Savior. It says, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. What glad tidings that would have been to bring to the shepherds. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away into heaven, the shepherds said one to another. Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And they all that heard it wondered at those things which was told them by the shepherd. But Mary kept those things and pondered them in their hearts. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God in those things that were seen and heard, as it was told unto them. And when the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which is also was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And just looking at that, I wondered, how did the shepherds know where to go? I mean, it says that they went with haste and they went to the correct place. But I think it was a very clear what the angel said is, and this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. I think for the shepherds that was very clear where he was to be. I heard it said not a couple years ago that it wasn't necessarily just a stable where Jesus was born in, but it was in the same tower where the newborn lambs were kept. So, and after the newborn lambs were born, they would wrap the lamb in swaddling clothes, just to really protect them, because for the sacrifice, the lamb had to be perfect, without blemish, without spot. So they'd be very careful to make sure the lamb was perfect and without spot. So for the angels to say that you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger, I believe that they knew exactly where to go. It was a clear sign that this is the place where he was to go. So again, we praise God for the birth of Jesus Christ. However, he did not just come for the sake of being born. He came with a mission to fulfill. He came to teach us all things. He was the perfect sacrifice. He was the lamb without blemish. He was the lamb that had no sin. He was the perfect sacrifice. He had the perfect peace. And how Don Richardson would say, he was the peace child. He was the mediator between man and God. He was also the peace child between man to man. He was that mediator. Again, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Only Jesus can bring peace to a tormented soul. Only Jesus can do that. Lasting peace that the world cannot offer. Do we believe that? Do we believe that Jesus Christ can bring the peace that only, that's the only true peace. A.W. Tozer says it this way: I must be frank in my feeling that a noticeable heresy is come into being throughout our evangelical Christian circles. The widely accepted concept that we humans can choose to accept Christ only because we need him as a savior, and that salvation apart from obedience is unknown to the sacred scripture. Apart from obedience, there can be no salvation. For salvation without obedience is a self-contradictory impossibility. So again, to walk this Christian life requires obedience, requires walking in faith in obedience. So this Christmas, may we look beyond ourselves and look to the needs of others. Preaching the gospel of peace to the dark and dying world that we live in. I was just challenged with just again reading Reggie's goals for the Christmas season. Let's see if I can find that. So Reggie is saying there in India, for the Christmas outreach, said her and Shirley are traveling to the different states, visiting our house church leaders training centers. This year we have 19 house church leaders training centers in different states. 542 of the trainees, including men and women, are part of their training. They are going out into the unreached villages to share the gospel. The present situation in India is not good. There are many attacks on house churches and on new believers are reported every day. House church leaders and pastors are arrested on false accusations of forceful conversions, saying they're going out and forcefully converting people to Christianity. Going to villages are not out of danger. We discuss with the trainees and they want to and share the gospel to their own people. They said they are willing to endure all the consequences. We are prayerfully planning and making arrangements for the outreach. Our brothers and sisters are planning to reach 50,000 homes and to reach around 200,000 people. They will be going from the 12th December to the 22nd December, which is right over this time period, to share the gospel. And then from the 23rd to the 27th, they will be assisting in conducting public meetings in those areas. We are planning 29 public meetings along with the outreaches to the non-believers. So please pray for the preparation. We need 20,000 New Testaments and 5,000 Bibles and 35,000 gospel packets in 6 different languages. So they're saying pray for us in the arrangements and provision. And it goes on to say that they have ordered these from the Bible Society and just praying that they will be delivered in a timely fashion. Then it goes on to say that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one whom they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? It is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring the good news. Romans 10:13 to 15. So again, the Christmas season, they see it as an opportunity to preach the gospel. And I know, looking at those numbers, you have to be in India to understand those numbers. Because India is the most populated nation in the world, according to the amount of land they have. They have like one third the size of U.S. and I think there's four times more people than U.S. have. So it's very densely populated. But I guess even the challenge to myself is, are we willing to preach the gospel to our neighbors and to whosoever that we meet? Do we have that goal this Christmas season? Because obviously in the holidays, especially with Christmas, people are more open, I would say, to hear. Are we willing to speak? It may not be 200,000 like Reggie's talking about here, but how about 10 or 15 that we come in contact with? And I'm saying that as a challenge to myself as well. I mean, may we open our mouths and speak. Again, Jesus Christ. Christmas is about Jesus Christ. And just like the prophets of old, just like the Jews of old, they looked forward, they read the prophecies and anticipated the time that Jesus was going to be born. And likewise, we are in a time period where we anticipate and look forward to the time that he comes back, because he is coming back for us one day. First Thessalonians 4, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain should unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For as the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Those words should be a comfort. We are to comfort one another with the words that Jesus Christ is one day going to come back. You can only imagine the eastern skies one day splitting wide open, and here comes Jesus back for his bride. And he is coming back for a bride. There will be a bride prepared for him. May we be a part of that bride. May we be a part of that gospel of peace. May our lives bring forth that gospel of peace to whosoever that we meet.